We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
As you find your seat, if you would turn to the book of Romans this morning, chapter number 10 will be where we find our text at this morning. As most of you are aware, no doubt, Pastor Todd is out of town this weekend, is in Louisiana. And presenting, we raised some money some time back, and for a church, the hurricane had gone through. Some of you may not be aware of this, but a hurricane had gone through Louisiana not too long ago, a couple months back now, and church completely flooded, had feet and feet and water in it, lots of things ruined, and our church was able to raise $18,000. And we were excited. We had some folks we were going to put together to go take a trip, and we may do that at another time. But timing wasn't working, and we didn't want to hold on to the cash any longer, and we thought it was kind of cold just to send a check in the mail. And so we sent Pastor Todd, and we're grateful that he's presenting that to them this morning and speaking, and so you be praying for him as he is away today. Today is part four of our Mission Possible. We've been, as Pastor Chad alluded to a moment ago, reminded us that we are in the middle of our missions emphasis time. We have had a lot of wonderful speakers, a lot of wonderful things that have happened. I know not everyone's able to make everything, but we've had a veteran missionary of decades that was with us. We've had a rookie missionary who's heading right to China. We've had church planters and a lot of folks in between. And this Wednesday, I want to encourage you to come. We have Dan Doyle, who is a missionary to Nicaragua. And some time back, we were able to help him with the church plant some land. And so we're going to be talking more about that on Wednesday. So we hope that you'll be here. Romans chapter number 10 is where we find ourselves at here today. Before we read our text, I guess a little context would help. Paul is writing here to the saints there at at Rome. And as he's writing this, you can tell throughout the entire book, if you read the book and start back at chapter 1, that he had missions upon his heart. And Paul himself was a missionary of missionaries. He always had missions on his heart, always reaching out to others. He taught that missions, really in chapter 1, he taught that missions is the highest priority of the church. What we ought to be about is going and going and going and telling people about Christ. He talked about it in chapter 1, verse 16, that it is the power of God to salvation. And it doesn't matter to the Jew, to the Greek, like the choir sang it a moment ago, grace unending. Grace for everyone, grace for every ethnicity, every background, wonderful, marvelous grace. And when you come to this chapter, you find that Paul is once again focused on the gospel message and the importance of being a missionary. And this is not new to Paul. You can read through all of his writings and see it laced throughout it completely. And so you're going to find right to the heart of the matter in chapter number 10, verse number 9. He's asked a bunch of questions and comes right into the heart of salvation. And many of you who've been in church very long at all, you could probably quote some of these verses that we're going to be reading and understand. It's so important, so relevant to our understanding of salvation. He says in verse number 9, this is what it takes to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Is that good news? Amen to that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. We love this verse, for whosoever, for anybody. I like that over 30 years ago, my mama told me, she said, you could put your name there. Put your name, for Micah shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. You can put your name. Isn't that good news? You can put your name right there. For the verse number 14, the tone of his writing changes. He just proclaims the good news, and then he asks the questions that we're presenting here this morning. How then shall they call on him? The one we've just got done speaking about. How shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. I'm going to break some of these verses down and allow us to understand what it takes to be on mission for God, a mission that really, that is possible in your individual life and in our life collectively as a church. We've been talking much about missions. Pastor talked last week about the giving of missions, and he talked very extensively about that. The week before, we had talked about the purpose of missions, and then before that, the focus of mission, how many times we've lost our place. And today, I want to talk to you about a very important part of missions, and that is surrender. That is obedience. That is more than saying amen and I believe that. It's walking out the door and actually doing that. Right? We come to a setting such as this, and Pastor said it many times, it's easy to be a Christian in here. And then what does it look like when we go out there? When we speak of missions, we're talking about taking the gospel outside the walls of these churches to folks that are in desperate need of Christ, in desperate need of understanding God's grace, in desperate need of understanding that if they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then they too can be what? They can be saved. That's the gospel message, taking it out to every language group, to every race, reaching people, establishing local churches that will produce believers to do just that, to be a going people. I read an alarming statistic that just arrested me in my spirit, and it hasn't left me alone as I prepared this and just kept, and I've shared it with the pastors. I can't believe it. I believe it, but I don't want to believe it. Statistically speaking, that it takes 7.1 churches to produce one missionary. Statistically speaking, it takes over 7 churches to produce one person who says, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to surrender my life. I'm willing to go to a Bible college. I'm willing to give up my life, give up my career, give up what I have. It takes over, can you believe that? Over 7.1 churches, statistically speaking, to produce a missionary. What does it look like to go into a mission field? I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, Pastor gave a message, and you'll remember, he stood out front here, and between two services, there's well over 150 people standing across the platform. Maybe you were one of them that stood here across the platform and said, I'll be a missionary. Like Isaiah, here am I, send me. And praise God, I know many of you are on mission. I know you're doing what God would have you to do. Praise the Lord. There's always more we can do. We understand that. But let me ask you, if you stood up here, how's that going? What does that look like? What has changed because of that decision? What has changed? And maybe you're still praying through that. I understand. You're looking to see what it is that we're supposed to do. Don't pray too long, right? We should be going. We don't pray about it for years and just not do anything. We ought to be busy going. Others of you may be wondering what that looks like. Some of you are already into action. And some of you that may be on the fence of like, I don't know quite what to do. Or I don't know quite what that means. I hope to be able to help you with that today. They give you some things that you can say, all right, I can do that. There's something that I can do. There's a tangible step that I can be surrendered, I can be obedient, I can be yielded, and I can step out in this way. If I'm to be a missionary and to be obedient and surrendered, what does that mean? So Roman number one, if you're keeping notes, keeping up with us here this morning, to be a missionary, first of all, I want you to know there is an internal burden that has to have. It has to be in you, right? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but there's an internal burden that just won't leave you alone. Maybe you stood up here with all these folks, and you know it's just been on your heart and on your mind. Like, I need to do something for God. I need to get out of my ordinary circle. I need to get out of what I'm doing and do something greater for the kingdom. Paul had a holy, burning desire for the salvation of his own people, the Jews. He himself said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was somebody that understood the Jewish trap that his people were in, understanding all of the Mosaic traditions and the legalism and all of the various forms of things that just entangle, stifle, and just thwart the true gospel mission of what it is that takes to be saved. And he understood what it was like, how blinded they were. That same burning desire he had for the Jews, though, is the same burning desire he had for everyone to come to know Christ. He wanted to go to the Jews. He wanted to, but he was willing to advance the gospel throughout the entire world. And we know God had a different plan for him as he went outside of the Jewish race to tell the Gentiles about Jesus Christ. Look at what he said. This is quite a thing. Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1. You could flip back, or I think it'll be on the screen for you. But listen to what he said. This is just such a thing. As captive, I say the truth in Jesus Christ. I lie not. I'm telling you the truth, right? We would say, with God as my witness, I'm telling you, this is what I believe, this is how I feel. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. It's got this internal burning there, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. If there was a way I could trade places, if there's a way, you know, I would rather myself be accursed so that other people could know who Christ is. I mean, isn't that quite a thing? Paul was a missionary at heart, and you can't read his exploits and his evangelism and all of the different establishments and churches and things that he started without realizing that he didn't have one negative or one second thought about being a missionary to go into the world and preach the gospel. He was a guy that was more concerned about going, highly more concerned about going than just sitting still. He was a going Christian, an obedient Christian, a surrendered Christian. And I want you to write this down there. This is so captivating to me, this quote, that the Great Commission isn't a comfortable call for most Christians to come. That's kind of what we've watered it down to be many times, but it's a costly command for every Christian to go. Kind of, you know, it's just come as you are. It's just this comfortable call. Just come as you are. And he does want you to come as you are, but we've taken that front end and said, well, just come. We'll come in and sit and worship. But it doesn't stop there. It's a costly command to do what? Go. It's a costly command to go, not just to come in and sit and soak. Paul was at Rome and Ephesus and Corinth and Antioch and Berea and Athens and Thessalonica and Lystra and Iconium and Philippi and Derbe and Colossae. Many other cities that he was at, he had this internal burden. Just wouldn't leave him alone, that he wanted to do. And every prophet of God, every servant of God is defined by this thing that's inescapable, that I can't leave it be. Paul had it there in his heart. I can't leave this alone. Noah felt it. It was this preacher of righteousness, and in spite of no converts except his family, just continued to preach, continued to persevere, continued to tell people about who Christ was. We know Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who came out again and again and again and preached and came out as a missionary and said, hey, you need to know Christ as your Savior. You need to repent. You need to repent. You need to repent. Again and again and again, this message was repent. You know how many converts he had, don't you? No converts. There's no Jeremiah Baptist Church, right? There's no Jeremiah Bible College. It's not there. Didn't have anything. How frustrated are we when we do something and it doesn't work? I tried going out on outreach and nobody got saved. Nobody was even home. Not doing that again. For years, Ezekiel, Isaiah, these guys, this just for years would preach and be a missionary and not see any results. Jeremiah wept over the people. See if you can relate to what he says in Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tired of it. It's weary. I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand the rejection. I don't want any more hard conversations. I'm tired. Any honest believer who's been saved a little while and been involved in ministry has said those words. Then you gather yourself together and maybe like Jeremiah, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. I couldn't stay in that spot because there was this burning inside of me that I had to be a missionary. I had to tell the people about who God is. Jesus felt it, this burning desire Abraham felt it. Jesus did in John 9:4. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was here so passionate about serving in his Father's business and doing what his Father would have him to do. He's like, I don't have time to build a house. I got nowhere to lay my head. I'm just all about the kingdom. I'm all about Christ. I'm all about my Father. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, said this, God only had one son, and he was a missionary. What are we to be, church? We're supposed to be a going people, a missionary. It's telling people about Christ. There's this internal burden. Do you have that inside you? Do you have that ache, that longing, that, man, I've got to be able to tell people about Christ? And if you don't have that, friends, you ought to take time to get on your knees and say, Lord, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If I don't care about the souls and eternal destiny of other people, maybe you're here today and I know I have that burden, that longing. I don't know what it looks like. I have no idea what it is. Maybe you don't. And to you, I would say this next point here, number two, that the state of our Christianity today, there's an indefensible reality that is before us. Paul exclaimed the richness of salvation. He talked about the wonderful gift of God's grace. Had talked about how great salvation is, how wonderful it is, how it's unhindered. Anybody that wants to come to Christ, for whosoever, is a pretty wide open ball field, right? I mean, anybody can play ball. Anybody can get on this team. Anybody can join the kingdom. So excited about it. No religious rites, no select race, no hand-selected group of people, nobody that's got enough money, nobody that's got just the right pedigree, that's had just the right training, that's had just the right whatever. No cliques here. I want all to come to repentance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he changes in verse number 14. There's a problem that's here. And he asks four questions in verse 14 and 15. This is what he asked. This is the problem. Salvation is for all, but how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? I don't know. How are they able to call upon him? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, without somebody willing to go? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Here's the indefensible reality. The reality is this, that there's a covering of the message. That's what I mean by that. There's this covering of a message. In the midst of life, there is a fog that envelops us, and we get sucked into this vortex of life, don't we? We get sucked in by work and priorities and deadlines and things that need to happen and stuff that needs to happen at home and things that are we're handling with our kids and things in other relationships that we're trying to make everything mesh. And with our hobbies and relationships and work and schedules and our sin and day-to-day life, the Great Commission just becomes something that is just kind of covered up. It's just something that's just kind of there. And now it's October and it's missions emphasis. We have to talk about it a little bit, but in another few weeks, hey, we're going to be talking about turkey. You know. Boy, God save us, right? Am I on mission? Pastors talked about this by way of giving, talking about being generous. We're not generous when we throw $100 down, right, for something or we help somebody. We're generous when we continually give. And I would take the same illustration and spin it by way of being a missionary. We're not a missionary because we go out one time on a Tuesday night and invite somebody or we give somebody one invitation card. We are a missionary when it is a part of our life. It's just a part of our routine. It's just something that we're doing. But yet many times our schedules and our life just cover it up. And I can speak from experience. I don't know about you. Wonder when's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? The last time you even attempted to share Christ with somebody. That ought to be like a little blip on the radar, right? Man, how? It's just a covering up of the message, right? According to the Joshua Project, I want to show you a chart. Hit the screens here. There are 16,535 people groups in the world. It's a lot of people groups. Different languages, different people groups. I know you're not able to read all of those numbers, but that part that's in red there represents 6,685 people groups, that part in red. These are unreached people groups who do not have the Bible in their language. They do not have somebody reaching them. In today's world, right now, with all of our technology and all of our people and all of the supposed Christians that fill all these Christian arenas and go to all these Christian concerts and go to all these places, I mean, all these supposed Christians everywhere, there's still 6,685 people that are unreached, people groups that are unreached. Now, let me get, that's 41% of our population. And to give you even more figure to that, that 41%, that number in red, equals over 2.74 billion people that don't know Christ. And we'll hear a statistic like that, and before we know it, we're gone to lunch and it's covered up, right? It's covered up and we forgot about it. It's the covering of that message, like, oh man, that's tragic, that's horrible. And in an hour, we're like, are we going to lunch? Where are we going? What's happening? Let's go to life group. How's this work? And these things, again, it just covers up the message. And the thing is, it's an indefensible reality because we're called to go. Paul told the church of Corinth, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, if you've grown up in church, maybe you've sang this little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Then he goes on to say, what, hide it under a bushel? No. Well, I can get some kids really going with that, right? And get them really going with that. You won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. And you start waving your hand all over the place. And but as we things happen, right? It's not on purpose, but before we know it, the message is covered up. We have hid our light under a bushel. We've hid it in four walls. We've hid it in the walls of our house. Oswald J. Smith said this, we talk of the second coming, and half the world's never heard of the first. How can they hear without a preacher? How are they going to know the gospel message? How is it going to happen? It's not going to happen unless we get busy. See, the indefensible reality is there are some things that are covered up, but then letter B, here's the reality for some of you in here, and it's been my reality before. Here's the thing, there's not a covering up. Letter B, there's a shunning, a complete shunning of the mandate. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I just don't want to do it. I know what I'm supposed to give to Grace Given, and I'm not giving. I know I should go to a mission field. I know I should go on a short-term mission. I know I should do these things. I'm not doing it. We've been given a mandate, church, right? We're going to talk about it later at the end of the message. We've been given a mandate to go. Our church ought to be a place that gathers here together. And we do a wonderful job of gathering here together, in worshiping and enjoying the music, enjoying the fellowship, enjoying the word, and then taking time to grow. We ought to be a gathering, a growing, and a going church. Gather together, grow together in the word, and then go. We are sent when we leave here. We're sent to go engage our respective areas of influence for the gospel's sake, for the kingdom's sake. We're supposed to be that ambassador that goes and says, well, I want to tell you about somebody named Jesus. I want to tell you about somebody that'll save your soul. I want to tell you about somebody that will. I like what John or the Song of Solomon said. This is my beloved. It's my beloved. Let me tell you about him. Complete shunning of the mandate. Not called. I mean, you might say that, right? Not called. Not heard the call, maybe. Maybe that's a more accurate way to say that. I showed you a stat just a moment ago of some unreached people. I wanted you to watch a video clip here now of people that are in need of the gospel and are needing somebody to go and tell them.
We're not talking about people who are lost and don't know the Lord. We're talking about people who are lost and don't know the Lord, and there's nobody who speaks their language that can tell them. There is no church that exists. There is no, not a large enough group of people within that people group, within that tribe or nation to reach themselves. That's an unreached people group.
when I'm riding through the city on my bike, and I just look around me and I see mobs of people, and looking into their faces and remembering to look into their faces and thinking, is there one of these people, do one of these people know Jesus? Probably not.
If what you want to do is change people's hearts and change millions of people's hearts, this isn't something that you can do in the flesh. So prayer is really the lifeblood of our work.
Around the city, seeing so many students around, 11 and a half million people as I commute, the whole train is filled with people, and the reality that less than 1% of them are Christian, that's what really breaks my heart, and seeing the need for the gospel here.
The core of the gospel is life on life. It's people touching other people. And if there's anything we can do, it's to get the people that are here connected with the people that are there.
Haven't heard the call, you say? Not listening, says I. Right? Disobedient, says God. We don't have to go all the way to those places, although God may be calling some of you to do something to that extent. There's unreached people in your neighborhood, in your world. When we see that there's a need and we don't step in, we'll often hear people say something like this with our church: well, the church our size, surely somebody will do that, or somebody will go, or somebody will serve there. Psychologists call this the bystander effect. The bystander effect, or bystander apathy, right out of their journal, is a psychological phenomenon that refers to a case in which many individuals do not offer help or assistance to other people when they think someone else is going to do it instead of them. But here's the reality, church: nobody else is doing it. They're not going. That's why they're there, right? That's why they have a need. That's why God puts you where you're at, and why God may be sending you elsewhere. You have the opportunity to get involved in grace giving. Don't shun the mandate. Don't just push it off to the side. You have an opportunity to grow in your ways of presenting your faith. Don't shove it off to the side. Everyone can give something. Everyone can be involved in the Great Commission, because the reality is this: there's a great shortage of missionaries. There's a great shortage. They're coming off the field by way of health or age or sin or issues or struggles and problems. There's a shortage of missionaries, and it's not a new thing, right? It's not a new thing. All the way back in Jesus' time, he said this in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? We know it. The laborers are few. It says in verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I started thinking about that phrase just over and over again. You know, the secret of success is good feet. An athlete will tell you the first thing to go bad are their feet and legs. No matter how good a boxer you are, no matter how great of a quarterback you are, no matter how great you can bat in the batter box, when your footwork is gone, the athlete is gone. My friends in the military and folks who have served in the military, and you better have the right gear protecting your feet, keeping your feet healthy, because you can have the greatest soldier in the world, but if you have unhealthy feet, you have a liability. Spiritually, I see the same thing, right? We have Christians have some problem with their feet going and telling people about Christ. We have some liabilities in the Lord's army, don't we? I want to ask you a very pointed question. Are you a liability or are you a laborer? What does that look like for you? I've noticed something about cold feet. When my feet are cold, all of me is cold. You know what I mean? You ever sleep in the middle of the night and you're just completely frozen, and you put more covers on you, you flip the pillow over, you flip sides, and you're still freezing, and you realize the reason you're cold is you got one foot just sticking out of the covers a little bit, right? I hate that. I have to wear socks to bed. I remember the one time staying with Pastor Chad one time at a conference somewhere, and we're getting ready for bed. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm putting socks on." He's like, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to bed." He's like, same time, he's like, it was one of those funny moments. But when a little bit of you's cold, right, your little foot's cold, all of you's cold. You ever feel like that spiritually? Feel blah? You feel cold? You feel indifferent? Might just be there's something wrong with your feet, because the Christian is supposed to be a going Christian. It's supposed to be someone that's telling people about Christ. And so you know what we do? We try to cover it up with other things. You're like, "Well, I'll get involved in ministry." Well, that's a wonderful thing, but that's not really the problem. "Well, I'll give more money." Well, it's not your pocketbook that's cold, right? It's your feet that's cold. So you're not going and being a going people and telling people about Christ. Maybe you're here today. You don't feel fulfilled. You feel lost. You feel wandering. And you're like, "What am I supposed to? I've tried to do these things." Maybe you're shunning the very thing. Or should I say, you know if you're shunning the very thing that the Christian is supposed to be about. There's a great shortage of missionaries. Do you have that internal burden there inside you? If not, has it been pricked a little bit this morning? Because there's an indefensible reality that is before us right now, and I want you to know there's an instructional directive that has been given to us again and again and again throughout the Scriptures. This directive that's here, he says in verse number 16, the directive's been given. You're supposed to go. You're supposed to be a preacher. You're supposed to tell other people about Christ. And then he asks this question, or he says this, verse number 16, "But they have not all obeyed." They haven't obeyed. And like Isaiah, when Isaiah in Isaiah 53 asked this question, he says, who believes our report? You know what he's saying? Does anybody even care? That's how Isaiah felt, right? Does anybody even care? Paul's writing this, and he's like, I feel kind of like Isaiah as I'm writing to this church at Rome. I'm writing them and saying, is anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Anybody got it? Paul's like, what's happening? He says in another couple of chapters what we're supposed to be doing. It is just a reasonable service to be a missionary, right? It's just reasonable. It's not outlandish. It's just reasonable. I'm going to give you these pretty quickly here. You can see off to the side of your notes, we're supposed to go, preach, baptize, and teach. But we're supposed to be a going people, meaning we need to be involved. We have to be involved in this process. It takes work. It takes planning. It takes time. Ministry takes time. We're supposed to go. We're supposed to preach, meaning we need to be invested in the process. It's not enough for a missionary to fly to the other end of the world or for us to even go do a missions project somewhere and us just to go and show up. There's something you have to do, right? You have to be invested into the effort. There is something that you have to do. There is an action that has to be portrayed. As I go, now I have to follow it up with preaching, with getting involved, with using, with investing myself. I go, and then there's something I do when I go, and then we know we are supposed to see people saved. We baptize them, meaning this. We need to also be inclusive. Being inclusive. Letter A, be involved. Letter B, be invested. Letter C, be inclusive to what it is, to every people group. To everyone, young children, older children, older adults, everybody. Doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what ethnicity they are. It doesn't matter where they come from, what their background is. And then we find letter D, we're supposed to be instructive. Teaching people, discipling people. I have to be willing to be like Christ and to grow in this area. I have to be willing. One of the most interesting things that we see in the Scriptures, time and time again, is that the gospel goes forth more by laymen, more by the church than by pastors and apostles and things that took place. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he says this in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. "They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All these folks were gathered together, and they were going out into the world, and they were spreading the word. And you skip down to verse number 4, he said, "Now those that scattered went about preaching the word." And he talks about how these folks were just, their desire to tell things about God was just insatiable. They just kept going and kept going and kept going and telling people about Christ. And the apostles, I mean, I can just imagine Peter and John reading this, right? Luke, man, you threw us under the bus, man. What in the world? Like, everybody's going except us. Like, we're sitting down having lunch. I mean, I don't know, what are you supposed to do? Thanks for that, jerk, you know? These are just ordinary people, though, going out and spreading the gospel. We think that somebody's got to be this professional Christian, right, to go out and spread the word. But God uses ordinary people like you and me. Joe Screwdriver, right? Sally Soccer Mom, right? Everybody, anybody, ordinary folks just like us. Luke's getting after something so vital. He uses ordinary people. And you know what happens there later on in Acts chapter number 8? Later on in that, the first missionary trip, short-term missionary trip, and it's no surprise there's a guy by the name of Philip, a layman, who was going telling people about Jesus Christ and runs into the Ethiopian eunuch. Fascinating story. Going, preaching, baptizing, teaching, it involves effort. It involves planning. It involves risk. It involves investment. And the commission goes on. But many times, that message gets covered up, doesn't it? Or it just gets completely shunned. I want to read you a little poem I found called 10 Missionaries. Listen to this. This is how God's word itself and the gospel message just gets pushed down. 10 little missionaries heard God's divine call, but mom steered her child away from it, and now there were only 9. 9 little missionaries to reach a world of hate, but dad wanted an athlete, so now there are only 8. 8 little missionaries to point the way to heaven, but surely you did not mean my son, so now there are only 7. 7 little missionaries, but in the world he did mix, playing around, and now there are only 6. 6 future missionaries, but one went after financial wealth, and now there are just 5. 5 future missionaries to preach to the poor, but one lost his burden, and now there are only 4. 4 bright missionaries to preach of Calvary, but one fell into legalism, and now there are only 3. 3 promising missionaries with glorious plans in view, but after Satan's sifting trials, now there are only 2. 2 final missionaries where there were once 10, but one married an unwilling spouse, and now God is left with just 1. 1 last missionary hope, who also heard the call, and you can make the difference if he stands or if he falls. I don't know what God may be speaking to you on, but you can make the difference in the life of a missionary. I have here all the grace giving cards that have been turned in. There's 48 of them in a church of 220 families. I know some of you are perhaps praying about it and haven't turned it in yet. You know, it's not quite half of what we normally get turned in. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to just show you the reality of where we're at with missions. This isn't a message on giving. I want you to see, you know, you make the difference. If that missionary stands, if he can continue going on, continue praying. Maybe you're supposed to be one of those missionaries that's supposed to go. Maybe you are supposed to be involved in telling people about Christ. You know, we've all watched the space shuttle lift up from the planet Earth and go into the outer space. That world has always fascinated me. I enjoy, the nerd in me likes that kind of thing. It sits there on the launch pad, ready to blast into another realm, right? Space. But that space shuttle is going absolutely nowhere until that fire has been ignited till those engines are going and screaming and finally propels it up into the air into the next realm. No fire, no liftoff, right? No igniting, there's no movement. As long as there's no fire and there's no igniting, there's no movement, that thing just sits earthbound. It just sits there on the earth. Many of us have been earthbound too long, just sitting on a launch pad. We come into church and Pastor Todd pours his heart out, and you hear your Sunday school teacher pours his heart out, and your life group leader, and there's so many things that happen, and we sit there. Isn't it time to fire those igniters? I mean, isn't it time to just, I'm jumping on board with this grace given. I'm jumping on board with being a missionary. I'm jumping on board with telling people about Christ. What does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you can call the office and get an appointment with me anytime, and I'd love to talk to you about what that looks like and get you plugged in. But it's not complicated. It's life on life. That video said that. It's taking time to get involved in someone's life, sharing Christ with them. There's very simple things you could do. You could host a free garage sale, give your stuff away, deliver food to a neighbor, start dialogue with them, mow somebody's lawn, volunteer at a nursing home, offer to babysit for free, buy a coworker lunch, show Christ to them, meet the mail carrier with a Gatorade, with a water, build a relationship. Leave a large tip for a waitress. Go back and see the same waitress again and again and again. Go back and see the same teller again and again and again. Witnessing to them. Deliver a bag of groceries to a struggling family. There are many ways. Sometimes we want the church to do corporately for us, but we should be taking time to do individually. We have corporate events. We have faith evangelism. We have 111, and you ought to be involved in those things. Those are wonderful events. 111 is a great, it's coming up here very soon. I call it a food pantry on steroids. I mean, we blow it up and we witness, and it's a wonderful opportunity to get involved in the Lord's work. Upward Sports Ministry, these big Sundays that we have, these big days are great ways to get involved. We have Friend and Family Day coming up. You know, there are bundles of 10 that are available back here in the back. There are cards that you can take time to say, I'm going to go take 10 cards and invite somebody. You say, well, that's not complete missionary work. It's a start. And if that's all we do is pass 10 out and stop, then God forgive us. This ought to be a starting point. You're like, what do I do? I pass this out to somebody. I go back to my neighbor. I talk with them. I'm working on my coworker. Just like if you wanted to talk somebody into seeing a great movie, or you wanted to talk somebody into doing something with you, you just keep on talking about them and you just keep bringing it up. We want it to be spooky or odd or weird, and it's not complicated. It's just taking time to share life on life, who Christ is. Getting involved with faith evangelism, getting involved with evangelism classes. We're going to be having those come up in the very near future, coming up very soon. But don't wait till then. Occasionally, we have food. Next week, we're going to have food. Eating barbecue. We don't feed you every week, right? Don't feed you every day. You feed yourself, don't you? Quite well some, right? Isn't it the same with missions life? Like, there ought to be times we come together and we're like, all right, this is what we're going to do as a church. This is really great. And now what you saw the church corporately do, now you do. Now go and tell other people. I like what Billy Graham said as I close. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and helpless. The greatest form of praise. You want to be a missionary? Just seek out people. Love on people. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Don't overthink it. I know there are overthinkers in the room. I would be one of them. I understand. But don't overthink it. Just get involved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.